Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to the Wise Men Say podcast. It is Thursday. I just thought I'd mention that because I did have to check it on my phone today because we are in that weird in-between point where everyone forgets what day it is. No one's quite sure of the date, but the day is Thursday. We are joined today. Well, I'm Ellen McCabe. We are joined today by Mr. Richard Easterbrook. Hello, Rick.
Hello. Yeah, thanks for reminding us what day it is. I'm struggling.
We are just in that blurry point, aren't we, where no one quite has any idea. And Mr. Michael Loff, hello.
Hello, how's it all going?
It's going good, yeah. Did a bit of shopping today, spending all the Christmas money. So, you know, when you have that point after Christmas where you're like, oh, great, I've got loads of money, and then you just spend it more on presents for yourself and you're like, oh, actually, no, now I'm just back to where I usually am at this point in the month.
Yeah, I think it's more depressing when as an adult you get money and you go, great, I can go towards my electric bill next month.
Yeah.
Rather like, I'll go and buy myself something nice. No, let's spend it on grim reality of 2023 Tory Britain.
Yeah. It's not fun, isn't it? But I can tell you one thing that was fun. Lovely little segue there. Being at Hull away at the weekend, no, on Tuesday. It was absolutely, see, this is why I needed to remind you what day it was. It was absolutely fantastic. I know that kind of both of you watched it. I traveled down for it. And honestly, one of the best away ends I've been in this season, just absolutely like bouncing atmosphere, brilliant. And seems like the lads really reacted to that. Rick, what are we thinking about it?
Yeah, it was pleasing. You know, we've now got a really good record against some of the top sides. And it's, you know, we are, with the lack of kind of consistency that we've had with the changes of managers and everything, and it's just good that we're kind of staying in contention, you know, despite the backdrop of being not that great, the underwhelming appointment of the manager and all the stuff that's been going around the club with the ticket allocation for Newcastle and you know the game against Coventry. It's just nice to kind of like remind us that we've got a football team we can get excited about again. If not in performance, but certainly the result.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, what was it the club tweeted incorrectly? It's always fun to sing when Sunderland win away. I mean, it was nice. It was nice to be able to bring that chant back, even if they did get the words slightly wrong. I mean, make from a more kind of technical perspective, I guess, what were your thoughts on how we played? Do you think that there was an improvement against what we've seen in the past couple of weeks? Was it more fun? Was it brighter? What were your thoughts?
I think the response was fantastic. And I think we've said this time and time again about this team. When we do have a setback, we do tend to put it right and show a response. And that's what we did. I mean, I think that it wasn't pretty, it was quite pragmatic, but I think it needed to be because Hull were quite a free-scoring team. They like to play on the front foot, they like to dictate the game, and we simply didn't allow them to do that. I think we plugged the gaps all over the pitch really, really well. And when they did, because we pressed, we tend to press with a four when they were getting the ball at the back and we were kind of pinning them. And then even when they were getting through that, we were just leaving them absolutely no gaps to play through to the front line. I mean, I think we had that one glaring chance at the start of the second half where Connolly hit the ball straight at Patterson, where he's just got to score or do better. But Other than that, I think we clearly had the best chances, and I think it was a fantastic response because Coventry, although we had spells in the game, it was largely shambolic, particularly the second half and when Coventry went 2-0 up. So I just think it was a fantastic response, and as I said on Twitter yesterday, regardless of whether I approve of a manager or not, I will always give praise where it's warranted. And I think yesterday was a very well-disciplined, well-coached team that was put out. And as I say, it might not have been the prettiest game in the world, but sometimes away from home, you've got to play like that and be a bit difficult to beat. And I think we showed a bit of kind of like nous, which I think we've only really shown against Leeds in recent weeks. So I think it was a really encouraging display for many reasons. And sometimes getting a good win away from home like that is exactly the tonic that we need. And now we've got a great opportunity to back it up against bottom of the league on Friday. So that's it's giving ourselves a decent, unexpected platform, really.
Yeah, and like we'll come on to Rotherham in a bit. But I think that one of the really nice things to see was the way that the lads really reacted to what was definitely a disappointment against Coventry. I mean, we were all gutted and not many people stayed till the end. Like that was the feeling. It was one of the kind of most disappointing matches I'd say this season. I know we've had worse wins, but for worse losses even, but for some reason that one just hurt so much more. And it was the reason for like everything that had been going on in the club in the like 10 days before that. There'd been a lot of kind of, everyone just felt like we're in a bit of free fall, and that just almost consolidated it. But it was really nice to see this reaction to what has been kind of a 2 weeks of uncertainty. And I think I agree with what you say, Michael, like it is important to give credits where it's due. And one thing that I did really notice is Beale was very conscious at the end. He didn't take much credit. He came over, he clapped a bit, and then he walked away. He didn't do any of kind of the Lee Johnson fist pumping the air, like showing off in front of the fans. He was very kind of quiet about it. I didn't even notice he'd come over until he was then walking away, because he wasn't wanting to show off at all. And I do have to give him a bit of credit for that. Like he's obviously understanding the feeling. He's understanding kind of where this club's at the moment. And I think that was a nice thing to see. I mean, let's get into the match a bit more. I think that it was quite difficult. I don't know what you guys think, but it was quite difficult whenever we went forward and whenever we tried to get anything in the box, because they threw every single man they had behind the ball every single time we were in their box. Every single time we were trying to shoot, they had 5-6 defenders in that box. And I mean, Richard, do we talk about the lack of striker again? Is that an issue that would be solved if we had one? Was that?
I think the answer is always going to be yes. It's like we've gone about it so much. Like against Coventry, when we've had chances, you kind of think, well, a fit Ross Stewart would finish those off 9 times out of 10. The reality is that we don't have Ross Stewart, and Ross Stewart isn't fit. So, you know, it's entirely moot point. But you look at the chances that are being created by our wide players and the quality of balls that are being put into the box as well. You know, that hasn't really changed that much from Tony Mowbray's days. The Tony Mowbray era, which, you know, it only ended 20 days ago, but it hasn't.
Feels like a lifetime since.
I know, but it hasn't really changed, and you haven't really seen a step change in performance or style, except for Holland, except for the home game against Leeds, which was such a departure from kind of the front foot football that we've seen in the past. It probably would have been enhanced if there was a centre forward that is kind of up to the task in the middle there, but we are creating chances and we are getting the ball into important places. We are getting the ball into dangerous positions. So the percentage game will pay off in our favour. It just probably would pay off a little better if we had a centre forward who's like slightly capable. But the reality is we don't at the moment.
That is the long and short of it. And I think one player who's really suffering from that, and Michael, please correct me if I'm wrong and disagree with me if you want to, I won't get angry. But I think one player who's really suffering from that at the moment is Roberts. he was so frustrated against Hull. You could see when he had that one that he just put straight at the keeper, he was kind of, he was angry at himself. But the balls that he's putting into that box time and time again, the chances he's creating, but us just not having anyone there. You can look at his stats for this season. You can say, well, he's only got one assist. He hasn't got any goals. But I think he's a player where you need to look outside of the stats. You need to be looking at what he's creating. And I think that he's probably the one that's suffering most potentially from that, us not having that man ready there in the box. Yeah, would you say, Michael?
Yeah, not only do I totally agree with you, I think you've completely read my mind, because as soon as you mentioned not having the striker on the pitch and how that's affecting the team, I instantly thought of Roberts as well. So Speakman would be delighted, because I think we're wholly aligned on this issue, Eleanor. So that's amazing. I completely agree, because he gets into some fantastic positions. And it's like you say, the stats don't tell you that. He gets into some fantastic positions. There's some fantastic cutbacks he makes, like deliveries into the area. And unfortunately, we just don't have people with that kind of like goal scorer instinct in the players to get it. I think as well, not only are we missing a striker, but when you lose a player of Ahmad's quality, you just go on to miss him so much. And I mean, last season, they were a joy to watch Ahmad and Roberts teaming up down that side with a little combination play. And obviously that freed up the space for Jack Clark, because ideally teams would want to double up on all three of them, and you can't do that. So it gave us so much more space in the final third to utilise. But no, I do think it's really, really important to solve a striker issue, because that's no coincidence now that a lot of people towards the end of Tony Mowbray's reign were saying, well, it's not a striker issue, it's a tactics issue. Mowbray leaves the club, Mike Dodds comes in his three games in charge, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think he played the specialist centre-forward in either of the three games. Michael Beale's come in and he played Barr up front against Coventry, and he started with Dak and Joe being the furthest forward players on Tuesday. So I think that's telling that that's three different coaches who have like three different ways of doing things have all looked at that and decided that playing without a striker is the best way forward. And I think it's not even necessarily the lad's fault, because what I think the issue is, we've got four players. I mean, I know Bruce's a bit older, but we've got the issue of they're all trying to kind of like learn on the job at the same time, and they don't have anybody to take that pressure off and that goal scoring expectation. Yeah. Weight off them, so they're all kind of, as I said before, they have some nice cameos off the bench where they look bright, and then there's a bit of a clamour, oh well, they should start, they should get a run in the team, they start a game, they don't do so well, someone else has an impact off the bench, and then suddenly they become the one. And I just think it's a little bit muddled. And I mean, we saw the other week that under-21s game where we just played all four of them against Arsenal under-21s just to see if we can kind of get something out of them, you know what I mean? But I think it's very much is a bit unfortunate, because we've got like four strikers. I mean, personally, I don't know what you guys think, but I wouldn't be against terminating and then burst those loan, and then we can bring somebody in who's a bit more first team ready, because obviously of him not being our player, I'm not being brutal, but we want to develop our own players, you know, over ahead of somebody who's not going to sign for a club permanently. So yeah, the ones I've rambled on there, but I do think like, the striker is a massive issue, and I agree entirely, Eleanor. I think it's harming Patrick Roberts more than anybody.
I think as well on the... Oh, sorry, Rick. Did you have something to add to that?
No, I was just agreeing. agreeing.
I think on the point as well of kind of having these players who aren't first team ready and they're having to learn on the job, who are they learning from? When you bring young strikers through, the main thing that you have is you have an experienced striker who they can watch, who they can learn from, who they can play off, who they can kind of potentially go in as a two up front, and they can really start to hone their craft that way. These lads are all just looking at each other going, well, none of us are ready. None of us can kind of do that. I completely agree on the Burstow point as well. I think for me, he needs to go back in January, and more so for him. If I was him, I'd be incredibly frustrated that I've gone to a club on loan and I'm just not getting the minutes. And that won't be what Chelsea want for him. It's Chelsea that he's come from, isn't it?
Yeah.
That won't be what Chelsea want for him. That won't be what he wants for himself. And I wouldn't be surprised whether that loan gets terminated in...
Well, I want to make clear as well, though, when we talk about experience, we're not talking about signing the 34-year-old striker. Even like Ellis Sims, for instance, he, in comparison to what we have, he was experienced. Now, you might think Ellis Sims has been bad at Coventry, fair enough. I haven't seen a great deal of him, but Harry was very good. And he was a player who, when we signed him, he had like thousands of quality first team minutes under his belt. So, on at Blackpool in League One, big part of him getting promoted, went to Hearts, did really, really well. You know, he had like good quality experience. Same with signing Dan Ballard at centre half, somebody who we bring to the club, who had a good pedigree, had an excellent loan spell at Millwall. He as well had a loan spell at Blackpool, did really well. So when we talk about experience, we don't necessarily mean 30 plus players. What we mean is lads who have like good, like kind of like core, like first team football under the belt, and they can develop at Sunderland. I think it's always important to emphasise that point before people start saying, oh, well, should we sign Jermaine Defoe again then? Because that's not what we're
saying. Yeah. Should we?
Although if that's, no, I'm kidding.
David Nugent. It isn't fair on like the likes of Burstow. It feels, and I've said this before, maybe not in the pod, but I've said before that it feels a lot like a loan that we would have done under Coleman in the Championship, when we dropped out of it, and we signed signed Brendan Galloway, and we had Ovi Ejaria, and they were talented players coming to the club that were just hiding at the deep end, and although we're at the other end of the division than we were under Coleman, it's still not fair to be expecting Burstow to hit pressure. The ground running. He could do, as Mick says, he could do with a loan where he's going to, because he hasn't played that much football. He came from Charlton where he hadn't played that much football, went straight into Chelsea, and he needs a loan like League Two or like League One where he'll score a few goals. He'll learn a bit more about the game, about how to kind of manage games and things like that, and all the things that you need that we're kind of expecting from him, and he doesn't have. It isn't fair.
I don't think any of us are saying by any stretch of the imagination that Burstow isn't a good player. We've all seen good moments from him. It's just that we are crying out and have been for about 2 years now. We are crying out for, is it 2 years or is it 1 year? How long?
I think it's been about 10.
We've been crying out for an experienced striker to come in. And I know that it's not as easy as, because there's no such thing as guaranteed goals. Nobody's saying that you can, I mean, we signed Will Grigg. He was probably the potential closest you get to guaranteed goals. And we all know how that turned out. But nobody's saying we want guaranteed goals. Nobody's saying any of that. But you want someone who has the experience of playing in the men's game, who can come into a Championship side, who are in the playoffs, and who can put themselves about a bit and put themselves into those places that Roberts is putting the balls into, who can act as a bit of a target man for Patterson. Because recently, and he was brilliant against Hull, like he was absolutely fantastic, but recently his distribution's been getting a bit of a critique, like people aren't too happy with it. And it has been the weakest part of his game since, like that always has been the bit he struggled with most. But again, you've got a feel for him, because when he's trying to get it out quick, or when he's trying to put it long, who's he aiming for? If you've not got anyone up top,
he usually aims for someone in the east end. That's usually where he's aiming.
what can he do?
Someone's strolling down the concourse with a bottle usually gets the thick end of it. It's not fair on Patterson it's not fair to expect that to be Patterson's problem. It's not, but other sides have noticed. I think Sheffield United did it really well last season. If you press a little bit from the front and force Patterson into making those quick decisions and not give him the option of playing the short ball, he will struggle because his distribution isn't there. But in other ways, he's probably the best shot stopper in the league. And he could be, he could be a good shot stopper in the Premier League, but he hasn't got that ability to send it long. Or if he did have the ability to send it long, there's nobody on the end of it to knock it down for the rest of them. So
maybe that's why we haven't signed a striker, so that we don't see that actually, even when he does have someone to aim for, his distribution's still terrible. Maybe they're trying to like protect him so that we can go, oh, this is why his distribution's not good. Actually, we're not signing a striker to protect Patterson. That's where it's at. I think as well, one thing that bears mentioning is what an absolute difference it makes when Job is pushed further up the field. I think that we saw a very, very different player at Hull than we did against Coventry. I think that when Dodsey played him further up, he just looks more comfortable there. And I'm not saying he's the solution to the striker. This isn't like Leon Diaku's actually a striker, so everything's going to be fine. and I'm not comparing Jove to Leon Diaku either. That's not a comparison I want to make. But I think that he is definitely an option up there because he does get into those spaces. And when he's playing further forward, I think that is something that is in his wheelhouse and he does do quite well. Michael, I don't know what you think. Do you think he looks more comfortable up there or...?
I mean, to be fair to Leon Diaco, he's played for Bayern Munich and Joel hasn't, so basically think. no, but I completely... And this is, again, a little bit of a recruitment flaw that we have because when you look at our midfield, I think all of them are suited to playing slightly more advanced than what they're being asked to play. So we're asking Pierre Ekwart to be kind of the central defensive midfielder, but I'm not necessarily sure that he flourishes more in that role because we saw back end of last season, he's a really good dribbler of the ball. Van Nail, he's great when you're playing further forward because he can play passes that can really like unlock a defence, particularly a defence that's sitting deep and can play the ball like through people. But Job, he kind of encapsulates that as well. When you ask Job to play further back, it just doesn't suit his game. Yes, he's physical. Yes, he uses his body well, but he's much better in the final third. And we did have a much better option for an out ball at the weekend. He was holding the ball up much better than what you would if you have somebody else up there. So I agree with you, Eleanor. While I don't think he's the answer to our prayers longer term up front, I think he's probably proven himself to be the most capable centre-forward at the club right now, which is credit to Job, but it also shows you a kind of an indictment on our attacking players. And like I say, what I would just really love for us to do in January is to go out and recruit a proper out-and-out central defensive midfielder who can take the weight of the world off the team. Because when I look at our midfield as well, you can only really rotate for attacking midfielders such as Pritchard, such as Dak. You can't really swap them out for someone who plays a bit deeper. Yes, Jay Mateta is coming back, but again, are you expecting him for someone who's very rarely played a championship level to just come out after he's been injured for so long and just make a claim in the team straight away? I just don't think it's necessarily fair. So I think as well, as great as these players have been, I think we sometimes ask them to do slightly more than what we should be asking them to do, given the age and experience. Like we're asking Dan Neil, who he's 22, you know what I mean, like maybe he's just turned 23. He's a player who he should be playing alongside someone senior to guide him through the game rather than him being the senior figure, which we've relied on all too much. So yeah, I completely agree. I think Joby's better further forward, but again, that's a little bit of an indictment of what we're lacking, and hopefully in January we really do need to address these areas. And that, I think, is a difference between making us a team that's clinging on to the playoffs by our fingertips to a team that can consolidate in the playoffs.
No, I completely agree. I think that January is going to be really, really important for this team in terms of experience. And with what we've seen the past couple of transfer windows, I don't know that we can kind of hope too much on experience. But I think that it's going to be a bit of a make or break. This team desperately needs some kind of experienced heads in there. I mean, you look at the difference that Pritchard makes when he comes on the pitch. Like, I know that he is for me an incredible player. I absolutely adore him. I think he's brilliant, and I think that talent is why he makes such a difference. But there must be part of it is that he does have that experience. He knows how to manage games. He knows how to kind of where to position the lads. You see him shouting at the lads. You see him kind of almost taking on that captain role when he comes onto the pitch. He does kind of tell them where to go. And I think that just shows that we need experience in the team, especially when you look at the experience that we've now got injured. I mean, the club hasn't said anything about Dak, but it didn't look good at the weekend when he went down. Like, he was literally running and then he just like clutched his hamstring and just went. It wasn't even a tackle. Like, that did not look great. Corey Evans, I mean, has anyone seen him recently? I don't even like know where he is in terms of his recovery. We don't have those experienced players even in and around the team at the moment. And I think that it's something that needs to be addressed in January. Whether or not it will be, time will tell. But yeah, well, it's been nice, isn't it, to be able to critique the team after a 1-0 win. But I mean, the lads were incredible. It's lovely to see a 1-0 win under Bealey. We're going to take a short break. And when we get back, we will talk a bit about Rotherham.
Hold up. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back. We are now going to move on to talking about Rotherham away. I mean, do we just start with the elephant in the room, which is our record against teams at the bottom of the table compared to our record against teams at the top? I mean, there's that tweet that's been doing the rounds, isn't there, in the last couple of days, which says we've beaten the teams who are currently in 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th and 10th. However, we have lost to the teams who are in 21st, 19th, 16th and 14th. It's a close league. But that's quite a damning indictment, especially when you're going to play a team who, A, are incredibly strong at home. I think they haven't dropped many points this season at home, but also a team who are bottom of the league, which for most teams should be a bit of a celebration. For us, Richard, it's worrying, is it?
Yeah, I always worry about Rotherham, because whenever even if they're bottom of the league, they always seem to be capable of pulling off decent results against us, whether it be home or away. We've had a mix of it, and it's a team that we've played loads, because it seemed to have followed us through the divisions. So we've got this weird little situation where we were their equals in League One, but now we're kind of handling ourselves at a much higher place than they have. So I never know what to expect, and I always worried a little bit when we'd come up against the stronger teams the bigger teams last season, so the ones with a bit more height in it. But I think now we've got a little bit of height in there ourselves. We've got quite a few players over 6 foot, so we're capable of kind of matching them. And certainly when you look at Dan Ballard, Job's physically, he's 6 foot plus. We've got Jensen Seal too, who's capable of putting himself about and Trent has come off the bench and do the same. Yeah, and obviously Sealed looking likely to feature again on tomorrow night. So I'm not too worried now about the physical side of things. Now, hopefully it won't be an attritional game where we kind of trying to match their height and match their physicality. And we can just try to do what we do best, which is, get the ball down on the deck and play through them. But there always a little bit worries me about it because of what's gone before with Rotherham.
Yeah, and we've beaten them this season, haven't we? When we played them,
was that our first win of the season?
It was, yeah.
I think so. So we've already beaten them this season, Richard. So you don't need to worry about anything. It's going to be absolutely fine. Yeah. Everything's going to be okay. famous last words there. I think that kind of one of my big worries is the number of times that we've seen this season where we've had really high percentage of possession, but that kind of hasn't made a difference when it gets into the final third, and it hasn't made a difference when it comes down to who takes home the points. And one of my big worries is looking at kind of their stats against Borough in the last game. I mean, they beat Borough 1-0. They only had one shot on target and they only had 29% possession. Turned into Chris Weatherspoon here. I'm just throwing all the stats at you, but they don't seem like a team that like possession. They seem to be one that don't mind you having the ball. And my worry is Mick, is that we're going to get complacent. We're going to just try and do all this stuff in the middle of the park that we are very good at and not have those shots on target. I've got that gnawing feeling that's going to be what happens. I mean...
You're correct to mention the home record as well, because obviously I know it sounds crazy to say they've got a good home record when they've only won 3 games all season. However, they've picked up 2 points away from home all season. So 14 of the 16 points they've picked up with all being at home. Not only that, they've drawn against Ipswich and they've drawn against Leeds. But equally, they've drawn against Queen's Park Rangers at home. You know, so it's a game which we still should very much expect to win and kind of control the game. But like you pointed out, Eleanor, they can be quite a horrible attritional side. And I don't mean horrible as in like just necessarily a team that like hoops people upside down or anything. I just mean very difficult to play against. And they probably do kick you upside down as well. So, you know, one good
guy. And the ref won't give any cards for it either.
But no, you're 100% right. It is a very awkward game because, like I know I've said, we should win it because we're a better team. But equally, yeah, they've drawn against some very good sides. And Rotherham, when I've looked at the home record, they very rarely get battered. They're always in games. And when you're in a game, all it takes is one set piece, one knockdown, you know, all the cliches. And suddenly you come away with nothing. So it's a game I think we need to start really fast and trying to assert our dominance really quickly and ideally get an early goal. Because I think once that happens, they're quite limited in what the response will be to that. But it's a game where it can be a little bit of a banana skin. And if we can come through this, I think we've gone from a case after the Coventry game of feeling quite negative about everything to suddenly if we can go to Hull and beat a side who are quite cultured, who like to play through the thirds, who like to control the ball, and then we can go to Rotherham, who are a horrible attritional team, who are going to play long balls, who are going to try and bully us out of the game, and we go there and back it up with 3 points as well, then I'll start to say, right, okay, fair enough, I've had my reservations over the appointment, I've got my reservations about a lot of things, but suddenly it becomes quite a solid start, and it gives you a good foundation to build on into the new year, so I really, really hope that can be the case.
Yeah, and it's nice to have that kind of a bit of positivity going into this. Like following the whole game, you do have that hope that we can score and we can find something. I mean, that for me, there's still the question, was it an element of not luck, but was it a moment of gold dust from Clarkie, or are we going to be able to, I don't know why I'm putting Wise on the end of everyone's name today. I've done it with Bealey. I've done it with Clark. This is my, I don't know why I've decided this is the way I'm going.
I don't mind Clarkie, but I had to draw the line at Bealey.
What did you, where are you sat on Dodsey when I refer to him as Dodsey?
Dodsey don't mind. Don't mind that at all.
Okay. Right. So we know where Rick stands. Yeah. So what's that? Oh yeah. A moment of gold dust from Clarkie. Was it, Is that what we're going to have to rely on? Is that where we're going to get to? It's a bit stressful.
Well, going Clark's our top scorer, but it shouldn't have to all go through him. I mean, look at last season; the goals were spread across the players a lot wider. You know, you had Ahmad, who was top scorer. He had like 13 goals in all competitions, yeah. Or 13 goals in the league, anyway. And now you're looking at Clark, who's probably on his way to matching that now at the halfway point of the season. So that kind of shows how much we are by some distance reliant on Clark. And it's probably not fair to be expecting a left winger to be scoring all of your side's goals. Shows kind of how kind of imbalanced the team is in terms of putting everything through the wings, but I think it might be up for other people to start doing their bit as well. You know, I know we've mentioned Roberts, and he has been trying away, and I just hope that something's going to come off for him this season, because he's putting the effort in. You just got to hope that he can find that quality in that kind of golden left peg of his to get off the mark. And
yeah,
you know, Job's not shy of scoring either, so. You know, it just needs other people to step up to the plate a bit and take the pressure off Clark E.
And with Robertsy, he's done. Yeah. I'm just going to go for this now. This is going to be my new thing. But with Roberts, he's done almost that classic like Sunderland player thing of, hasn't he? Where he's absolutely great, and then he signs a new long term contract, and he just stops scoring. It's painful. It's painful to watch. In terms of kind of who's going to play then, obviously we've got no clue what the crack with Dak is, but I highly doubt we're going to see him in the side. Huggins out with his long-term injury, which I'm just gutted for the lad. Like, I could not be more gutted for a player because he's had so many injury issues and he's finally in a run of form and he's just... So that's absolutely heartbreaking. But a bit of wise men say breaking news. Did you see that the club have just tweeted... that were you following a fly there, Richard, or was that...
I was looking for the
banner,
the beacon, yeah.
The club have just tweeted that Elise is traveling with the squad, so was that
like driving could... or something.
he's at the front of the bus. No, they tweeted that, what they said, like, welcome back at Aji Elise, with a lovely picture of him standing next to the bus. Well, I'm assuming he's next to the bus. You can't actually see the bus in the photo. There you go. That's the photo. This is great podcasting. We're just doing stuff.
That's him, all right.
So yeah, there's that potential there, even off the bench. I mean, someone's gonna have to come in for Dak, potentially Pritchard. You potentially are gonna have to have someone who can come on for Sales, because I mean, Bealey pointed out in his post-match that I think it was the first 90 minutes he's played for us. Now, whether or not in the space of 3 days he's going to be able to play two 90-minute spells when he hasn't done that previously for us, are we going to have the option to bring him off and bring someone else on instead? I mean, Michael, what are you thinking? How do you think we're going to line up?
Yeah, I think you've summed up well, because I think we're in a position where players do need a rest. I mean, I don't know, obviously you were there, Eleanor, so you'll know a lot more about this than me, but I thought Job looked absolutely dead in his feet by the end of the whole game. So again, but you need Job in the team, because who else is going to give you physicality up front? You know what I mean? Again, it's a debate. You don't want to play Zelt for the full 90 minutes, but Elise, has he even played really this season? He played 45 minutes against Arsenal in the 21s last week. It's not ideal prep, is it? So, are you looking to try and interchange between the two of them? It's quite a difficult conundrum, because like 09 is just not going to not play centre-half. I think we just need to give up debate on that, because whether we think it's right or wrong, he's simply going to play centre-half. It's a big conundrum. We need to rotate the squad, we need to rest players. But and Bale did say after the whole game in his post-match, he did say that we are going to need everybody in the squad. And I noticed he was happy to bring Triantis on at the end when we were defending the 1-0 lead. So, You never know. You never know. But as I say, I personally would like, if possible, because I thought Zales had a very good game on Tuesday. And what I think he'll give us tomorrow night, if Rotherham try these big diagonals switching the wings, I think he could be very good at nullifying them and cutting them balls out in the air. So I think it's a game that kind of could be a bit made for him. So I think in an ideal world, you want to start him. But like you say, what he does... I appreciate this isn't the best answer in the world, because I'm really sitting on the fence, but I just don't know really how you solve the issue that we have between playing your best players but equally trying to give people a rest and rotate.
Yeah. I think that defensively we're in a nice position where we've got fullbacks that can play centre-half, and we've got centre-halves that can play fullback. So and we've got fullbacks that can play on either side. You know, Huggins and Hume have interchanged. You've got, you know, we're still talking about Dennis Sergen being injured, but when he comes back, he can play as part of the back three.
He was on the pitch at the end, by the way.
Well, that's something. So that's positive.
I mean,
and Trantis is getting more minutes, so I'm not that worried about it. But as you say, it's the cover, it's the can these players play 90 minutes in a high intensity game who's there to give them a breather.
I noticed Pam Galli was on the bench for the first time the other day, and he obviously comes with a huge reputation, and he had an excellent game for the under-21, so we could see him over this like kind of festive few games we've got coming up.
Yeah, we're going to need everyone, really, because you know you've got Friday and you've got Monday as well.
And do we even want to mention like what comes after that?
Yeah, I was about to say then you go, we've got next. Ah, right, yeah.
That's happening. And as much as they're loving peddling the thing of, oh, war players are so tired, and how kind of tired their squad is because they've got all those injuries, and obviously it's really, really difficult for them at the moment. But we do need to think about, do we rest some players in order to give ourselves the best chance in that match? And it's something that I think I can't make a decision on, because you're not making a decision between the FA Cup and the league. You're making a decision between the Mags and the league. Yeah. And that's the really, really difficult decision to make. I mean, there's also the question of Ballard. He's on 8 yellow cards. He's getting close to having to serve his ban. I know he wouldn't have to serve it for the Mags game, I don't think. I think it's just in the league, but league. It's still a
unless
worry,
he gets himself,
it?
Unless he gets himself sent off for like violent conduct on Friday night, he'll be all right for the Newcastle game.
Is it only if you're sent off for specific things? Or it's like violent conduct?
No, I think it's just...
Or is it just any... Is it a straight red? Then you're off in the FA Cup.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah. But I think if he'd gotten it for totting up Bugans, you're okay.
Okay. Because I don't think I could deal with just Luke 09. Just taking on, I don't even want to think about that, actually, because that would just be absolutely painful.
It is difficult though, because like if you do keep players back or you do put like your strongest team out possible for the game against Newcastle, in a game that statistically we've got a very small chance of winning, and I know it's not nice to say that, and it's not nice to think about it, but you've got to be kind of pragmatic and realistic with it. Like,
what
would happen if we do kind of fling players in that maybe not fully fit just because of the best players, and one of them gets knackered in a 2-footed challenge, and then we've got a problem in a game that we might not win. And where the prize is to play another team in the fourth round, like, I don't know.
Oh, the prize is so much more than that, Richard. The prize is the prize is just eternal bragging rights forever. Well, I think we've lost Richard. It's so much more than just kind of playing another team in the fourth round. It's so much more than moving on, isn't it, Michael? Like it's just that idea of beating them, and do you risk what is a bit of a precarious position in the league at the moment to move on and just smash them? I mean, it's not going to happen, but the potential that could happen.
I mean, yeah, you've just got to play the strongest team you've possibly got available, because like you say, it's not just a case of, oh, well, we're out of the cup and people say it's a free hit, but it's not a free hit if you get beat 5-0. So we need to give ourselves the best possible chance that we have. And then after the Newcastle game, I believe we've got like 7 days between our next game in the league anyway. So I don't think it's a huge issue playing your best team possible against Newcastle. But like you've pointed out, I don't really want to even think about that now, particularly now I like work in Newcastle 5 days a week. Like, I don't want to even like think of a possibility of going into work the following Monday after we've just been good by them. So let's hope we can keep it respectable. But we've got to beat Rotherham and Preston before we even think about them.
Yes, that is very true. We do need to be thinking about where we're going. I mean, what's your 2 questions for you? Who are you bringing in for Dak? And what do you think the score is going to be?
I'm bringing in Pritchard for Dak because we've got good options in that area. We can bring out Shishon later in the game. I'd start Pritchard, and I'm going to be optimistic and say we are going to beat Rotherham 2-0.
2-0? Wow. Okay, same question for you, Richard. Who are you bringing in for Dak? And what do you think the score is going to be?
I think we're gonna. I think we're gonna win 2-1, and I think Ashish is coming in for Dak possibly.
Ooh, I do like that. To be fair,
I'm an Ashish apologist though. So
no, I really like him. I think he's got something. I really like him. I am, however, going to say we bring Pritchard in for Dak. I think that's the. that's the obvious switch there. And potentially if he hasn't got 90 minutes in him, then sub him for Aushish. So I'm going to sit on the fence and not give a full answer. And because I am attending the match with the creator of the good bet, I am going to go for us winning 3-1.
Yeah, you see, I'm Gordon standing with Jimmy Ray, so you know I've got to be optimistic and say we'll keep a clean sheet just for his sake.
Oh, lovely, which actually solves my problem of saying I don't know whether there is going to be a reacto, because I'll try and meet up with you lads after the game. I mean, this is not a fair conversation, but we will likely be back tomorrow or maybe Saturday if it's released then, with a reaction to what will be a lovely 3-1 defeat. If we're 3-1 defeat. Oh, my God. I'm so tired. Christmas is done. Oh, I'm going to try that again. We will likely be back tomorrow with what will hopefully be a lovely 3-1 win over Rotherham.
I mean, like, we could just, you know, after the fact, we could just edit it in whichever the result is. So for posterity, we look like we're just making good predictions.
Yeah, and then obviously we'll get more listeners. They'll think that we're some sort of magician. It'll be absolutely lovely. But yes, we're going to win 3-1. It's going to be fantastic. Beely Boys bus is firmly going towards the Premier League. And yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this. Thanks for listening. It's the time between Christmas and New Year and my head's gone. But thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.